Lynn, do you want the cameras on for in the room?
We tried to do that. We were not able to quite get it. So,
Okay.
oh, you mean the cameras of other guests besides this room? I can't, we couldn't project this room.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yeah. So the only person in the room that you'll see is me.
Okay.
And I might turn the computer around at some point so that you can see
Okay.
everybody. How's that, Chandra?
Yeah, they're gonna know. I know, and they're coming in person.
They are coming in person.
Yeah.
Look, I got you all on camera.
Oh.
That's just perfect.
Stick today.
You almost made me spit coffee.
All right. Welcome to our meeting today. We're going to call this to order. And the first thing on the agenda is to do the roll call.
Kim Fisher.
Here.
Suzanne Fowler.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Georgiana Schuster.
Here.
Vicki Nicewander.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Yes, we do. Everybody in attendance. Okay. And the next thing is the approval of the agenda. I just want to make a note. We had a discussion prior to the meeting, and we are going to take action on in new business number 12A, which is the draft of revised funding requirements and guidelines. So we need a motion to approve the agenda with that change.
I move to approve the agenda with the change that you just mentioned.
Thank you. And a second?
I will second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That is carried. We also have, of course, the schedules, the CCDDB timeline, the acronyms and glossary in those approved area or those areas of the agenda. Next up is citizen input and public participation. Do we have any of that? From Zoom, maybe? No?
No raised
All
hands.
Right, then. Moving on to my comments. I just wanted to say that, you know, we're gearing up Sounds for like this.
I didn't need it.
Do we have a comment?
No, they're working on the coffee.
Oh, okay. All right. We had a coffee fail this morning, so just so you know. So my comments, looking up forward to the new grant cycle coming up in December, I want to thank all of the providers, both here and on Zoom, and the ones who haven't made it today for all the work that goes into that. I know that it's a taxing process and that you put a lot of time and effort into it. I hope that you can consider during this next year ways of helping people to live a better life by thinking about how they can connect to their neighbors, their friends, their community, people in the community, not just community events, but people for based upon what their interests are and what their needs are. So anyway, we'll be having lots of conversation about that over the time. And I know you all try the best that you can. And sometimes it's a real challenge. So I recognize that as well. Okay, Lynn.
Thanks. I think I've put about 20 million words into the board packet, so I'll keep my comments brief. So the schedules still say December 20th is a tentative meeting date, but we would like to have that meeting. And the board chair and I conferred this morning and agreed we should do that. We'll also try to think of the season and keep it light. It's so hard to keep it light in this business. But we'll work on that. And yesterday I asked Chandra if she would mind commenting on this, and I don't know if she's available to comment on it, but she spoke at a conference over the weekend, the Federation of Families National Conference. The focus was behavioral health, but Federation of Families is a, would you want to say a few words on it, Chandra? And then I would like to defer my comments to her, and then we're done with my comments. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So just to let you know, the Federation of Families, one of the major things that they have done is they are expanding their definition of peer support to be more inclusive of people with DD. Not just behavioral health, which is a huge change because it only used to be focused on children, and their families that were in the behavioral health system. So that is one major change. Also they have a huge, push on social justice and equity, which is also a huge change in the Federation of Families, of how they are moving forward in supporting families to have more equity in place, and how they make decisions and legislation with the actual parents and family voice at the center of it. So that's just a brief highlight. Next month, I will be glad to give you like a summary of things that I went through. And then I also did a presentation on a curriculum that I helped do. It was called EASE. And it's Advancing Equity for All. And it's looking at different ways how to make social connections and social supports in the mental health and DD systems. So just letting you know that I did that as well.
Thank you, Chandra. Any questions for Chandra?
Much appreciated.
Great work. All right. Moving on to approval of the minutes from October. We need a motion.
I move to approve the minutes from October.
Thank you. Second. Susan. Thank you, Anne. Any discussion on those? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Everyone approves, and we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is the vendor invoice lists. Those are on page 20 and 21. A motion and a second, please.
Move to approve.
Thank you, Anne. Second. Susan will second.
It was second.
I left. Any discussion? That's one of the drawbacks of having a small board. You have to do everything. Any discussion on this? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries. Up to staff reports. As always, thank you to the staff for all their work that they communicate to us every month. Does anybody have any questions about the reports? Okay, moving on then. Thank you. New business. Our first vote on an issue of the day. This is the thing that I referred to earlier when we approved the agenda, the draft of revised funding requirements and guidelines, which is on page 45 to 65 in the packet. Lynn had said no action is requested, but in order to move the process along so that staff is better prepared for that start of the grant process in December, we're going to take a motion and a second to approve that today if the board feels prepared to do that. Everyone's nodding their heads. Yes. Okay. Kim, would you like to make that motion?
Sure. Make a motion to approve the draft revised funding requirements and guidelines.
And second?
I will second that motion.
Thank you so much, Georgiana. And any more discussion on that?
Yeah, I did have a couple of questions that I noted in when I was looking through it. Mostly looking at the audit requirements, and I think it's clear, but I just wanted to have a little bit of discussion about it, because this has been a big problem for a number of agencies. And I see that the state has changed the threshold for needing an audit from 300,000 to 500,000. So I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
But I just like a little bit of discussion about how that relates to the agencies that we're funding. And then there's a financial report, and I guess I'm a little bit, they both mentioned a certified public accountant, and I thought that one of the problems was the availability and affordability of certified public accountants. And is the difference between a financial report and a full audit a substantive difference? So those are my questions.
Well, we've got Chris on the call for till 9:30. I'll take the first question, which is that we've looked at the total revenue of all of the agencies funded, there are four funded by the Mental Health Board who fall between 300,000 and 500,000 or are likely to fall between that for their total revenue. So we will probably ask the Mental Health Board to do contract amendment for each one of those to allow them to do a financial review instead of an audit. To my memory, there were no DDB funded agencies in that zone, but there could be. So that's something Chris and I will look into. But Chris, do you want to take the rest of it, the difference between audits, reviews, and compilations?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Good morning, everybody. So the difference between a financial audit and a financial review comes down to the amount of testing that's done. A financial review has much less assurance than a financial audit. There's much less testing done. And a compilation has essentially no testing done whatsoever. It's pretty much the agency hands over their books to the CPA, and then the CPA recreates their financial statements based on the books that were provided.
Chris, are you saying Chris, are you saying that there are three levels? There's an audit, a review, and a compilation?
That is correct.
And the requirement to complete one or the other is just based on the agency's total revenue for the year. Or there could, there might be a circumstance where you want more and are willing to pay for more. But that, so far that hasn't happened, but that is included in the rules. If there is a reason to ask for an audit and pay for it, that could happen.
And right now we do not know if there's any DD funded agencies that fall in this 300,000 to 500,000? No?
When we looked at it, there weren't, but things change. And you know,
the new year coming up.
Yeah, and Illinois revenue is not always as reliable as we would hope. So, you know, some who rely heavily on Illinois revenue could fall into that category. So we'll look at it. Or the agencies might initiate that conversation because it is faster and cheaper to get a review than it is to get an audit. So,
right. Anyway.
Absolutely. Chris, did I say that all that right?
Yep. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a follow-up question. Looking at non-compliance, so I'm looking on page 15 or 61, depending on how you look at this document. I guess I have a question about the process of dealing with non-compliance, because I read this and I was still a little bit unclear. So Lynn or Chris, you or Leon or whoever wants to talk about how we deal with non-compliance.
You want to take it, Chris?
I mean, do you have a specific question about the process?
At what point do we withhold funding from people?
If reports are late, we will hold a payment and we'll send a letter notifying them. If the audit is late, that's another required report, we'll hold payment. There are other circumstances, like if it seemed that the agency wasn't spending the money in the way that you had approved, that could happen, but we haven't done that I don't remember doing that. Chris, do you have other examples?
Those are the main compliance issues that payments get suspended for, are those two, missing reports and missing an audit.
Have we had instances where that had to happen in the last couple of years? And how was that dealt with, and what was the impact on the agency?
Lots of late reports. The DDB-funded agencies do a really great job with timeliness. They are very timely with reports. But it has happened where a deadline is missed. Maybe there's too much going on or someone is out sick. You know, we have a form that allows people to tell us the reason for the lateness and request an extension. But if they don't do that before the deadline, then the payments actually go out the day after the deadline. So we kind of scramble in the morning to see that everything's in place. And payments are withheld, but usually only for a month. I mean, this is at least the DDB funded agencies like are amazing, do a great job, don't need a lot of reminders. It's this group is very on track, but it has happened. So, and would you say we, Chris, do you know, like, with the exception of late audits, I don't know of us withholding payments for much longer than a month.
That's right. Generally, if payments are suspended due to a missing financial report or quarterly report, we contact those agencies immediately upon discovering the missing report, let them know that it's missing, that the payment is suspended, and we give them a week or two to get that report in. And I can't think of an instance when an agency has failed to meet that that new deadline.
Any other questions?
No, thank you. That's very helpful. I see two sides of this issue. One is our fiduciary responsibility to make sure that the money is used appropriately. And so we have to have that kind of oversight with the financial review and the audit. And then the other, that it's can be a burden on agencies, especially small agencies. And I understand that in the last several years, the availability of CPAs to provide that service has been sparse.
And I know that it also has been a deterrent for some small agencies to even apply for grant funding. So that could, you know, hopefully make a difference as well. Yeah.
There is one other, there's one other change in that requirement that I want to point out. This came from our attorney. This was not something we thought of, but it makes really good sense. When an audit, so the audits are typically due 6 months after the end of the agency's fiscal year. For the DDB funded agencies, that's June 30th is the end of their fiscal year. So the deadline is December 30th or 31st. You know, it's a holiday weekend anyway. So we say December 31st. So if that deadline is missed, then we simply hold payments for 3 months. But then under the current rules, at 3 months, the contracts are automatically canceled. And this is to reduce the risk for both the board and the agency. The agency could continue to provide services on the premise that they're going to get paid for them someday and that we would hold a year or two of payments. And this has happened. So, but then what if there is a problem with the audit and those payments never get made? That's a huge risk for the agency. It also messes with our budgets. Like we have a current issue that relates to that, where we have been unable to make payments during the year they were planned to such a degree that our budgeting is very difficult right now. So this hasn't really happened with DDB funded agencies, but the attorney suggested instead of automatically canceling the contract, if we get to that 3 month point, we bring the issue to the full board for discussion. You can decide whether it's appropriate to cancel the contract or continue holding payments. The agency would have an opportunity to say what they think would happen on their side, including whether they're willing to take the risk. I think that's a really great change. I wasn't expecting it, but that's in there.
Anything else? All right. Very good. You have a question, Susan? Yeah.
No, just a comment. I had caught that, and I remember prior meetings of the Mental Health Board where these issues were really difficult. It's on page 15, Roman numeral 8. And I thought that that was just a really strong part of the plan, having a board meeting called by the executive director with the agency present to be able to explain what was going on before a final decision was made. So I it really clarifies. So there's no kind of behind the scenes activity. It's really upfront.
All right. We have a motion and a second on the floor, and I think all we need is a vote. So all those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Very good. Great discussion. Under old business, the CCDDB 3-year plan with objectives for 2024. That's page 66 to 80, and there is action requested on this. So we will need a motion and a second on the issue.
Well, I will make the motion to approve the proposed three-year plan for fiscal years 2022 to 2024 with fiscal year 2024 objectives.
Good. And a second.
Second.
All right. Any discussion on this? We've had lots of time to look at it, and there's been a ton of work done on it. We appreciate that. Yes. No discussion. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Lynn, I didn't see who made the motion and the second.
The motion was made by Georgiana Schuster and seconded by Ann Robin.
Thank you.
I'm writing them all in the wrong columns.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. Okay. Action letter B under old business is CCDDB fiscal year 25 allocation priorities. So that's page 81 to 94. And we are requested to do something with this today to approve it.
I move to approve the CCDDB program year 2025 allocation priorities decision support criteria as described in this memorandum.
Thank you. Anybody willing to do a second on that?
Second.
Thank you, Susan. Discussion. Guys, we're just flying through this stuff today. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, that carries as well. Let's go to, where are we? See, IDDSI fiscal year 25 allocation priorities. Is that where we are?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's pages 96 to 112, and action is requested on this, I think. Yes. Motion and a second, please.
I move to approve the IDDD Special Initiatives Program Year 2025 Allocation Priorities and Decision Support Criteria as described in this memorandum.
And second.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion on these? All those in favor say aye.
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 You had a question?
Just a comment. Like, I really hope that people apply for this initiative. And I mean, I'm very excited about these special initiative priorities, especially in response to the folks that came to our board to talk about what they want. So I really hope to get some great applications.
That would be great. So did that vote count? I don't know that it did. Let's just do it again. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And aye. Opposed. Great. Thank you so much. Input on priorities, letter D.
One very nice affirming
note. Yes, the note on page 113. Yeah. So just make note of that. The evaluation capacity building project is on 114, and that's just a review of activities. The Resiliency Center, are they planning on saying anything to them?
Hello.
Dana, do you talk to us? I'm struggling with my computer, so sorry.
That's okay. Hi, I'm Stephanie. I was going to give the update today. Dana's on here too, but we can share the responsibility. So on November 3rd, we did a group level assessment with 33 different staff. And we just tried to kind of identify their needs and successes and challenges related to evaluation. And we're going to take the results of that and develop trainings that are tailored specifically to the needs of staff. And then we're going to figure out, you know, who would benefit the most from one-on-one assistance and get that going. So we're kind of in the process of evaluating all of the results from that currently. And we will have more of an update next month on that.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions?
No question. I just have a comment. I had written excellent input. I thought this was, it looks really good reaching out to people, and the response looked good, and to have people have discussions in small groups to really get input. I think this is an excellent idea of example of how things can be done. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the expo update. This information is in the packet. I just want to say I was at the expo all day. It's, as always, was a great event. Allison and Dylan Boot did a fantastic job once more, and such a great event for this community. So congratulations to everybody who was involved. Okay. Fiscal year 2024, quarter one DD report, service reports. This does not need to be approved, just calling your attention to it. Are there any comments or questions?
I just have one comment. I really like the format that we're using now. I like the narrative, and I like the bars that it helps me to review. So thank you for that format.
I'm glad you like it. I like it too.
Page through it with your sideways view there.
There we go. There it is.
Yeah. Very visual way of checking that. Yeah. Susan?
So I just had a question because I'm not used to this format of the quarterly reports. I like it, but I had a question about one of the quarterly reports, and it's just information. It's not a concern. I didn't know about CCRPC Community Services. So we have once again funded a dual diagnosis program. We used to have one at Rosecrans. It was closed. We have a new one again. And how long has it been operating?
They were awarded funding for that position in program year 23. It took them a while to get that up and running. So I think officially now it is up and running. Angela Yost is here. If you are interested in that, you can contact her.
Great.
And get in touch with her. And I'm sure you have her email. If not, I'll send that to you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm pleased to see it's funded. And again, I've been away from these discussions, so I'm very pleased. Thank you.
Yeah, good point. Anything else? All right, let's move on to the next item. H, the 2024 quarter one programs claims data. That's on page 137 to 150.
Those are the bars.
You finally got there.
Finally got there.
Okay. Very good. Any comments or questions on that? All right, then, moving on. 211 quarterly update for Champaign County, pages 151 to 171. That's for information only. Comments or questions on that? Not hearing anything. Okay, then let's move on to successes, our favorite part of the program here. Successes and other agency information. Anybody have anything to share with us?
Things we have someone new working in the PSW. Going full time. Its name is Dale Confines.
Hello, I've just started with working with Paula, although I've worked here at PACE before in the financial admin position. And so I've known Paula for quite a while and the people here. And I'm happy to be here and learn. And thank you all for everything you do.
Can you say your name again? I didn't quite hear
it. Oh, my name is Bill Kibitis.
Thank you.
Yes.
You guys are doing great work. We appreciate it. Much needed in this community. So thank you.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Becca?
Thank you.
Is your mic on?
Is now it is. Red means on and green means, off. Means off. Okay. Sorry. I'm Becca Obachowski with Community Choices. I just, a couple things to share. One is that we have been sort of in communication and kind of discussions with an organization through the university who's developing an app to help match caregivers and people who are looking for support people. And so we're meeting with them. We've talked over the last few months about maybe doing a pilot project once they kind of are at the point of being able to sort of launch things. And so we're getting ready to start that and figure out, you know, the ways that we can most functionally use that, and it can be the most functional for the people that we're serving. So we're really excited about that, and hopefully it's something that can be really, you know, useful for all sorts of people, both people who are looking to sort of get into the field in terms of work, and also obviously for individuals and families who are looking for additional support. So I'll keep you updated on how it goes. The other update that I had was actually sort of a joint update with DSC for the LEAP program. So at the very end of October, we launched a new website for our LEAP directory of inclusive employers. And so before it had been like hosted on a free like Google Sites site. So it was hard to find, essentially. And so, but we were able to purchase a domain and sort of redo the website. So it's now leapdirectory-cu.org. And you can find that directly. It's also on both our website and DSC's website. And we're, you know, still going to be adding things to it, but we wanted to make it a little bit more user-friendly, a little easier to find. And so that was kind of a lot of work, and we're excited to kind of see it all come together. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Annette Becker from DSC. I want to segue what Becca said about the directory. I think two of the really cool things that will be available on that website are links to the podcast, which if you have not heard the podcast, they are incredibly wonderful. And it includes employers we've worked with, as well as people who have gotten jobs and their perspectives on having support and what it means to be employed. So we're really excited to have that addition. And as Becca mentioned, having more, you know, one of the goals for the directory is to continue to provide opportunities for businesses to learn about the disability community and how they can use that information to better support their employees. And so some of those opportunities are things that they can do on their own. And so we'll be continually adding to that. And again, it's just so much more accessible. And if I say something's easy to use, it's easy to use, because I am not, technology is not my cup of tea. But so we appreciate John from Community Choices doing that. Just two other things. I think I already mentioned the open house at the Crow, and that is on December 3rd from 12 to 5. That's a Sunday, and we're doing that because there are a lot of things going on in the community in December. We had a group that wanted to do woodworking, and so we've added woodworking, you know, Christmas wood things to the open house. So we're really excited about that. And then the Taylor Swift bracelet making, because the world revolves around Taylor Swift, obviously. We are having the bracelet making on December the 13th, which is a Wednesday. And from what I'm told, it's actually her birthday. So I think all the planets aligned, and I'm sure there will be lots of good energy. Thank you.
That's also the City of Champaign's Day of Forgiveness.
I have a question for DSC. Sorry, you got up too fast. I was too slow. So I'm just not familiar with what CROW stands for.
That's the name of the location that we have. That's where all of our art happens, and it's kind of a place for community artists to connect with the people that we serve there, and also for people we support to engage with the art community. They do photography, woodworking. We just added pottery. They've made beads. When we do our open houses, we invite community people to also sell their product. So
and the address is
110. Sorry, I do know that, and I know how to get there. I just I get very nervous up here, so I do know my name is Annette. Yes, 110 East University.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So CROW is not an acronym for anything.
No.
Okay.
No, we used the CROW because in Native culture, that, you know, the CROW is about creativity, and so that's kind of how we came up with that.
I thought she said grow. I was getting ready to give her my spiel, but now I know she said CROW.
And Vicki, thanks for that clarification, because I actually thought, got a giggle out of it. It actually is one of the few four-letter words that are not an acronym or an expletive. But I had a couple of different things that I wanted to share. One, we just celebrated a 70th anniversary or birthday for somebody that we've supported for a long time. He was able to kind of asked for some a party, and he invited some of his friends, a lot of the people that have supported him over the years. And this is a gentleman that is continuing to work. He has his own apartment, kind of a condo, and we've supported him in employment, in day services, in our community living program over the years. He's been fairly independent, but has had some significant life challenges over his lifetime, and continues to thrive at 70. And I remember when he moved, you know, into his most current living environment the last few years, even at probably 65, it was really important that he was able to still mow his lawn, that he loves doing that. Usually at 70, you're thinking about how to get out of that. But that's something that's really important to him. And he also is one of them that cleans some of the local parks and stuff and gets paid to do that. So it was a really nice celebration. And I think that's the third time in 3 months that we've talked about somebody either retiring or being at that age. And that just speaks to people are living longer, and they continue to need supports, and they start declining in health. And really, the state really needs to pay attention to that aging population, because there's a disconnect or a gap between something like CILA services and long-term care and nursing support for people. And we're finding ourselves in that position with a number of people that we've supported for a long time. So kind of trying to define that gap, and you know, sometimes the dementia levels the playing field, and the disability really isn't relevant anymore, because they're all suffering from the same things, but they're being turned away because they have a DD diagnosis. So really trying to kind of figure out what next steps are for people in that demographic will affect community living and CILA and some of the other services that we provide. Another thing that I was going to mention is at the beginning of the month, we had our Tree of Hope kickoff and our annual event. And there were a few people that attended to that event. Thank you for coming. And I was just going to highlight one business that received the Employee of the Year recognition award. It's the Independent Media Center in Urbana-Champaign. And that is at the former post office at Lincoln Square. And just to read a little bit from them, they've been an exceptional partner with Community Day Services and Community First, began in September 2020, which was during the pandemic. So that I thought was really, really nice that they embraced kind of having people come in and provide some services. It started off with two to four people working a couple hours a week. And now after 3 years, there are 22 people who are going in there 3 days a week and providing different types of services, janitorial, cleaning, rearranging, replenishing supplies, doing some office work. all things with support. And it is the difference between them being able to earn that paycheck and not. But they also have discounted spaces for like the Speak Out Summit when people have done, we've done virtual participation in that. We did have people go in person this time, but there was also a large group that participated virtually and they've offered space for that and have included us in, you know, lots of community events using the stage, the art gallery, the library. And it's been a really inclusive relationship well beyond the work opportunities that provided. So I think that I thought they really just deserved a shout out and wanted to share that with you today. And I think that is
it. I have a question on that. So is the Independent Media Center paying the folks individually?
Or no, right now the arrangement, they have not hired anybody directly because they need the supported employment specialist to help them to complete the tasks and work side by side with them. So we get reimbursed is the way that it's set up, is DSC gets reimbursed after, and then we pay.
Okay.
We pay the individual. So it started out with, I think, two and there's 22 people. And that was, you know, a really nice part of introducing people to community volunteering and now paid opportunities. And, you know, some of those people will move on to employment that they'll be independent, and others, this is the level of support they need. So,
yeah, you can ask that question.
Who do you get reimbursed from?
From the media center. They pay DSC and we pay the employees. It's a contract that we have set up.
So whatever hours we have any volunteers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, I mean, if there's any interest or if it's somebody new is wanting to try to dip their toe in work for the, you know, the first time, I mean, it's a really good, safe opportunity for people to learn some skills and it's very transferable to other jobs in the community. So it's a great relationship. So
thank you.
I just have one more comment about that, because the director of IMC is a friend of mine. I've known her since she was a child. And she told me that working with DSC was a very positive experience. And she said, I didn't think it was such a big deal because they provide the employment support. So it's been a big win-win. And I think it's a good example of getting people with disabilities out into the community, interacting with other people on just a regular basis. This is just a really good role model example. So thank you for doing that and for bringing that forward.
Somebody else is coming.
Oh, okay. We'll get them after.
Okay.
Yeah, your red light on. No, turn it one more. There you go. Now you're up.
Okay. Hi. My name is Annie Bruno. I recently started working at the Arc of Illinois. This will be short. Just wanted to let people know that tomorrow at the Douglas branch of the Champaign Library, the Transition Planning Committee has invited Prairie Land Services to come do kind of a meet and greet and a presentation on their PUNS services. So I'm co-chairperson for Transition Planning Committee and want to invite everyone who's interested. It's at 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Douglas branch of the library. It's free. It'll go for an hour. And we have three staff from Prairie Land who are going to present to the group.
Okay. Well, that's helpful to know. Is it?
Thank you.
Okay to share our agenda for next month a little bit?
Sure.
Let people know also that those same folks are going to be at our meeting in December to have discussion about Prairie Land. So that will be, that's good that they're getting out and about and letting people know who they are. Okay, there was somebody on Zoom who had their hand up.
Ryan LaCrosse?
Okay.
Yes. Ryan? Good morning. I'm Ryan LaCrosse, area director with Best Buddies in Central Illinois. And I just want to kind of give the board a heads up on a few things that we're working on, including financial wellness with Busey Bridge, offering our participants with and without disabilities and their families education on planning, on how to manage money based on a certain amount you can make every month, to keep your benefits through the state, scams, et cetera. And we look forward to inviting all of our friendship chapters in the Champaign-Urbana area to join us for that, which will lead to our our first friendship walk at Edison School, which will be in April when we get the official date from the teachers. I'd love to share that with the board and encourage you to come learn more about Best Buddies, which one of the more fun things I was able to do this summer, and I left a link in the comments section for anybody to check out on Facebook. This summer, a young man named Marcus was able to live out his dream. He is on the autism spectrum, and he got to drive a monster truck. So if you'd like to see how far I like to take inclusion and supporting our friends with intellectual and developmental disabilities, I encourage you to watch that, and would love to share more about what we do and thank the board for offering this space to so many amazing agencies. Thank you.
Yes. Do you have a phone number for follow-up?
Oh, there's the monster truck.
After we see this. This is great. Oh my gosh.
Whoa!
Yeah, too bad you can't hear any.
That's okay. If he could, he sent a link to this, so you could forward it to us.
I will forward the link to the board so that they can hear this. It looks really fun.
And is there a phone number that we can contact you directly?
Yes, I can put it in the chat right now.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. All right. You're on.
Okay. I'm Angela Yost with the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission, the Developmental Disabilities Program. And I just wanted to let you guys know, I did hear some of the feedback regarding maybe concerns with the person-centered planning process, and that's one of the things that we're funded to do. And so we have implemented a survey that we're now passing out after we've done person-centered plans, as well as going back and giving out to anyone we've done plans with starting July 1st. The individual can either do it on paper or they can enter their responses into SurveyMonkey. And then if they do it on paper, it gets sent to me and I can enter it in just to reflect on the process. If they feel that that the case manager is hearing what they're saying and putting that into their plan, if they feel that their objectives are meaningful for them, what they wanted. There are several questions, I think a total of six. But I wanted to let you know that we are implementing that to see what kind of feedback we get on the process. And so we can start evaluating to see if there's anything that needs to be tweaked.
Okay. Thank you, Angela. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, Zoom or in the room? Okay. Let's move on to County Board. Leah. Makes it very easy. Champaign County Mental Health Board input?
They meet tonight, and they're covering a lot of the same territory. They do have an additional action because, unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, the impact of late audits and withheld payments can really mess up the budget. So we need to transfer some money from fund balance. The county board approved it last night. I just want to make sure the Mental Health Board approves it because there are two conflicting laws on the books about who's in charge. So we're just going to make sure it's okay with everybody who might be in charge of it. The purpose is to pay the bills on time. That's the Mental Health Board. And otherwise, I think that the actions are very, very similar. Am I right? Yeah. I don't think there's a, we try to keep it very similar so that you're on pace so that we're running one allocation timeline.
Did we mess things up by voting to approve?
No. Okay. There's a chance that they would also do that since they've had quite a lot of time with that document.
All right, very good. Then any board announcements or input? No? Silence. Okay, very good. So we are adjourned at 9:58. Thank you, everybody, for coming.